Don't make me make them flip the lights on and off. All those that grew up in public school cafeterias just shuddered. This morning we get the privilege of hearing the word of God being brought to us from one of our own, Lee Peters. Needs really no introduction, except for the fact that he always has the coolest ties. But you can't stare at it this morning. Lee, come share with us.
Thank you, Brad. It is a privilege to be able to be with you in this time of worship together and a time to be reminded that our God loves us and he cares for us. This church has had a special place in our lives, as we have mentioned before. When Patty's mother, Mrs. Shepson, moved here in 1984, she opened the way for us as we came home on furlough in 85, and that was our introduction. Now, of course, it was a much different congregation at that time, and I forget where we were meeting at that. This church is it has a pilgrimage from place to place, and one of our last furloughs, it was the bus station, and then we're a part of helping to move into this building that the Lord provided. And if you don't know the story about this building, you need to learn about it, because it was a gift from God. God opened the door. Other business people offered much more money to Belks, and they said, no, we are selling it to that church. And anyway, that's an interesting story in itself, how God provided and continues to provide. He is the same today as he was yesterday, and he shall always be the same. I appreciate your prayers this morning. I couldn't believe it, but last night was one of the worst nights of my life. Couldn't go to sleep, and you know, there were no problems, nothing that was bothering me. It's just that the mind wouldn't shut off, and it was a spiritual battle, but it was a wonderful time of praying and talking with the Lord, and that was most of the night. Now, at my age, losing sleep is not a good thing. I'm learning that, and some of you know what I'm talking about, but anyway, as we come before you this morning, when we say we're coming in dependence upon God, we really mean it this morning. And as you pray, we want to seek what God has for us as we look into his word. The scripture this morning, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, these are very familiar words, but we want you to listen to them very closely as to what God wants to say to us this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. What a great promise. What a great promise God has given to us. And by the way, this is in the Old Testament. These words take on all new meaning in the New Testament. We have a complete different relationship with the Lord because of Jesus. Because he came, because he died, he rose again. And these words are so meaningful, but he filled them with all kinds of new meaning that he wants to teach us. Let's listen as he speaks to us this morning. Father, we are so thankful that we are part of your great family. We are thankful, Lord, that as we gather here, that you know us all by name. More than that, you know our deepest thoughts. You know all about us, and yet you love us. And this morning, you are wanting to pour out your love, lavish your love upon us as we open our hearts to you. So our Father, minister to each one here, young and old. Speak to us according to our needs. And may our Father, your truth, lift up our eyes and give us hope and direction and power. We pray this, our Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Talking about secure investment, I thought that was a good topic for this morning. And some of you may be going through your bank accounts, you know, and saying, yes, yeah, we need, you know, it's been years. In fact, it's amazing to me at my age and looking back and saying, when have we had a time in which the economy is growing so fantastically? And at the same time, people are saying, well, is it really real? Is this happening? You know, it reminds me when I grew up along the Susquehanna River, one of the branches, and I mean really along it, because whenever we had floods, we had water in our basement. One of the things that at this time of the year in western Pennsylvania was that if it was cold enough, that river would freeze over. And me and my brothers, we were always anxious to get out, my sister even too, but get out on that ice. But we were wondering, is it strong enough? Is it thick enough? And, you know, we'd be testing it and then trying to get our parents' permission to go out and to be able to skate on that ice. And that's sort of like what I hear people today, you know, is this really real? Is it thick enough? Is it, you know, can we try? And we find that people are trying to find what is the best way to go and in investments. But you know what Solomon is talking about is not financial investments. He's talking about the investment of the most precious precious thing that we own, and that is our lives. Investing our lives. Being able to discover that God cares. And as I prayed earlier, that he knows us and yet he loves us. I like the Gaither song that talks about the one who knows me best loves me most. And I'll tell you, that is an amazing truth that a lot of us don't like to think about. We sometimes think that we're kind of our special gift to God. You know, I've come to God, I've joined the church, I give, I attend. And you know, when I was growing up, they had these attendance pins. And one of the old men in our church, each time you got a new link, you know, and his went way down, you know, and he wore that so proudly. His brother, who is a much more spiritual man, he was a great godly man and had a great influence on my life. He never would wear one of those things. To be able to say, look at my record. You know, God must be pleased to have me in his family. Well, he's pleased to have us in his family, but by his grace. None of us deserve it. And, you know, as you put that in the background of what he is saying here, and that is that God cares. He loves us. And he wants to be able to lavish his love upon us. We don't deserve it. But Solomon is talking about this, that walking into this glorious relationship with God and discover that God wants to do marvelous things in our lives, not because we deserve it or have earned it, but because he loves us. He loves us. And he's talking about in our investing the most important thing that we own, and that is our lives. Investing it for his glory. And let's follow along with all of you business people and talk about a capital investment, a personal investment, and a managed investment. A capital investment, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Our Lord is absolutely trustworthy. You know, that's the thing, if you are in investments, one of the things you want to know is, can I trust this man that I'm putting this money into his hands? And like we have done with our retirement, you know, as little as it is. In fact, we said to the man taking care of our investments, we said, we're probably the smallest investor you have. And you've been so kind to try to help us here. And to be able to trust him fully. By the way, the man that's looking after our little bits of investment is a graduate of Liberty College and a good Christian man. And I thank the Lord for him. And how many times even my wife more often will say, can we really trust him? this may not be much, but it's all we've got. And we find that God is absolutely trustworthy. And all of us here will say, amen, that's true, that's right. Then why don't we trust him? We find that our old selfish nature always is pulling back and saying, yes, Lord, but do we fully trust him to turn this all over to him? A quote from a man that I found that this quote was great because of who said it as much as what he said, and that is J. Edgar Hoover. You know, we question most government people today. And, I thought, listen to this quote. And this man who had such a high office in our government and the FBI. It says, when one leans on his own understanding, lives by his own strength, boasts of his own accomplishments, and claims he is his own master, the result is untold suffering. Even though his position is maintained and his material wealth increases, success quickly turns to failure when God is forgotten. There is no peace of mind, no personal satisfaction, no experience of the true inner joy. To trust the Lord with all the heart is a mark of strength. It is the only path of true fulfillment. That was a U.S. government man, you know. May his tribe increase. But here is a man who is hitting the nail right on the head and is saying, we are talking about the greatest investment a person can make with great satisfaction. But in Solomon talks about that this is to be an unconditional investment. It is with non-interference. Talk to any of your financial people and they'll say, okay, you just don't interfere. Because, as they say, when stocks are high is when we buy, and when they're low, that's when we sell. And it's just the opposite way it's supposed to go. Our human nature is always in trouble, even in the world of and money. But here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And of course, when you talk about heart, in the Hebrew setting, he's not talking about emotions. The Hebrew thought is that this is your intellect, your will, and this is to be an unconditional surrender to him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Unconditional surrender. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then there is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. That's a profound statement. And we have a hard time getting our arms around that. It's easy to say it. But what a marvelous thing is be able to say, if Jesus Christ died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. That is something you need to chew on every day, because the old nature wants to take back. And so this is unconditional trust. There is also non-interfering trust. Lean not in your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. The greatest struggle we have is to dethrone self and enthrone Christ. And you said, yes, I did that yesterday, but you better do it today. The old nature. We have to dethrone self. We have to enthrone Christ. And it's as simple as that. It's as complicated as that. You know, we all love babies. Our daughter just said something rather startling. That her girls are now in college, just started college, you know, and she's, oh, I can't wait for grandkids. But I can wait. I'm not in any hurry, you know. And we all love these babies, especially when there are grandchildren, you know. And so we're talking about great-grandchildren for us. And to these innocent little babies. But, you know, they have a fallen nature. You say, oh, these little babies, they're so innocent. Are they? Watch these little babies. They will take such a big, strong man, and they'll twist him around their little finger. These parents and grandparents especially who think of themselves as being so wise, and that little baby who can't speak a word is the one who just controls them. You know, we think that's funny now, but when they become adult and they're still doing that. Because we have a fallen nature. And to find, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. And you know, when it comes to investing our lives with the Lord, we have to let go. And that's a daily exercise, to let go and give him everything. Give him everything. And we're so startled because the next day when we go to do that, we find we've taken back little bits to be able to learn that this one who asks us to give him everything wants to lavish us with his greatest love, his greatest joy. He wants to make our lives enriched and to be to his glory. He wants to give us everything. We have a hard time getting that through to our fallen nature. But we are to invest totally in him. Remember the story that Jesus told of the man that he went up to him and said, I want you to follow me and be my disciple. And this man, he said, that's wonderful, Lord. I want to be your disciple. I couldn't think of anything greater than that. But first, wait, I must bury my father. Then I will be your disciple. And you know, Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead and go and preach the gospel. And we hard to get a hold of that one until we read the background, and Bible scholars say, what that man was saying was, Lord, I want to follow you, but if I go now, I'll lose my inheritance. After my father dies and I get my inheritance, then that is going to be a great privilege to go. You see, lean not on your own understanding. We don't tell God what to do. Did you ever notice that in our prayers, we spend a lot of time telling God what to do? Lord, would you please do this and do that and do the other thing? How much time have we really spent saying, Lord, what is it you want to do? How do you want to deal with this situation? When we stop telling God how to do it, then we can learn of his marvelous wisdom. We can enjoy his protection and his care and his direction. You see, this is a personal investment. It's capital investment. It costs for everything. But it's personal. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And there is a personal side of this investment. You know, learning to be able to make the Lord the center of our lives. And some people say, yes, when I wake up in the morning, I say, good morning, Lord. Start off with the Lord. Another one says, yes, I say that somewhat. I said, good Lord, it's morning. so To be able to start with him, and what he is talking about here is this personal relationship with God Almighty. You know, this takes on whole new shades of meaning as we get into the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. Solomon is speaking words of wisdom that God had to reveal to him because we didn't understand it until we got into the New Testament. What the great thing it is that in all your ways acknowledge him means that you cultivate this personal relationship with the creator of heaven and earth. He invites you into his family. He invites you into his throne room. He invites you to become a part of his life. In all your ways acknowledge him. And practicing the presence of the Lord, I think as I get older, this is something the Lord keeps coming back to on me with me, and that is practicing the presence of the Lord. And you know, as you go through the day, are you aware that the Lord is with you? Are you aware that everything you're doing and all your busy activities, that he is there? And when you begin to cultivate this truth that God is with me, and you begin to interweave that truth into our fabric of our lives, then our lives become enriched. And we don't say, oh, no, that's happened again. Why did that guy do that? We say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? How can I love this person? How can I react to this situation? And we find that he is talking about maintaining an unbroken fellowship with God. And that is a marvelous gift. That is not something that the place we go in the Philippines, the Filipinos really, you if you're riding in one of their public vehicles, you'll find that as they go past a cathedral, and there are many of them, as they go by a cathedral or a church, we find that they cross themselves. Oh, that's interesting. They're remembering the Lord. And so as I got to know, especially as some of our young people came to know Christ, you know, and hear the brand new in the faith, and I found they were a wonderful source of information. And I'd ask you, why do people do that? You know, I guess it's okay with me that they cross themselves, and they said they believe that God lives in there. And I said, well, that's nice. It's good to believe that God is in this church. And then I began to discover, and I started preaching sermons on the fact that God is also in the street. God is at our business. God is, and we found, and I couldn't believe the reaction of the people. And that was, what? They had a hard enough time thinking of him being in a church. But he is in that jeepney, he's in that bus, he is in the street, he is here, he is at my business, he is there. And you know, and I thought, well, to be, that is marvelous truth. And I found there were Christians who loved the Lord, and they had never really thought about that. What an enrichment in their lives. They begin to look at life through different eyes, that all that I do and everywhere I go, he is there, and I can maintain a fellowship. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. As simple as that. For me to live is Christ. Christ is at the center of my life. He is the one directing me. He is the one that is giving me wisdom and all these things. And I practice the presence of the Lord so that when I'm faced with a hard situation, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm still practicing. I haven't arrived yet. You know, the Lord has to keep reminding me. They say, well, oh my goodness, this is terrible. You know, what are we going to do here? And then I said, well, as if he's tapping me on the shoulder and say, I'm here. In all thy ways acknowledge him. This is daily conference with the Lord. It's also daily commitment. No, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. If you want to understand Jesus, you had to understand what he's saying here. That his food, his everything that kept him going was to do the will of the Father. And then you hear the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Paul said in Colossians 1:10, "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." You know, what a marvelous truth. Practicing the presence of the Lord, he is with us. We don't go to a building that we call a church that we can meet God, though that's a good thing. We can meet God out in the street. We can meet God wherever we are. He is, in all our ways, we acknowledge him. He's there. The God who is there. What a great gift he's given to us. Your life is meaningful because he is there. He is there. And when you begin to recognize that, your life begins to take on new meaning. This is not my problem, it is his problem. This is not my situation, it's his situation. My life belongs to the Lord. And that brings us to the next one. Not only is a capital investment and a personal one, but it's managed. It's a managed investment. Who's managing your investments? That's an important question, especially for people like me in retirement. You know, you say, who's managing it? Who's caring for it that it's going to be able to last as long as it's supposed to last? And we find that Solomon says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight, or he will direct your paths. He wants to manage. He wants to be in charge. He wants to show you how and where to go in life. He does not drop these responsibilities on us and say, now keep a stiff upper lip and just keep going there. I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Evan Hopkins said, God seldom guides a soul that follows afar off. He will reveal this his way to the ear. He will not reveal his way to the ear that does not listen. It is first through the study of Scripture, in answer to believing prayer, that God guides. Often a certain passage will stand out as God's special message, and it must be obediently regarded. At other times, by reading the word, the principles along which God is likely to lead will become increasingly clear, and one can begin to be aware in the way in which guidance will come. This is in all your ways acknowledging him, and he will direct your paths. This guidance he gives to us there is no obstacles. What are you facing? You say, oh man, I'm up against this big problem, and this is a terrible obstacle in my life. And we find that what he is saying here is that there is no obstacle that can stop you from doing his will. Now, we may say that I argue with that, because I've had this and that, but when we just look back many times, we see the hand of God directing us through that obstacle. Isaiah said, prepare the way for the Lord, and make straight in the wilderness the highway for our God. Making our paths straight, this uses the same word as make straight. In the wilderness, a highway for our God. And we find that with the psalmist, he said, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He said, Lord, lead me, direct me. And why? Well, because I need it. No, I will lead and direct you because for my name's sake. You know, we find that like sheep herders, shepherds, you have goat herders, you have sheep, shepherds. But they will say that a shepherd will care for his sheep so that people will know these are his sheep. And they said, for a shepherd that doesn't really care for his sheep, it's a terrible testimony to who the shepherd is. But the one who cares for the sheep, and this is the picture that God has brought here, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is a testimony to our shepherd. It's a testimony to the one who leads us. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and will have the light of life. When we walk with Jesus, he's going to direct our paths. He's going to shine his light upon. We have the promise that we don't have to wander in the dark trying to find our way. But we find that the shepherd is going to lead and direct our paths. I was telling someone several weeks ago as we were visiting Fairhaven, and the story of our Uncle Charles, as most of you know, that's my wife's uncle, who started Fairhaven Ministry. So as we were going through the lodge, I said to them, you know, I still remember the year that Patty and I were home on furlough, and we'd been hearing from Uncle Charles about what was happening in Fairhaven and how God was blessing and things were coming along so great. And I said to Patty, we got to go up there and see this place called Fairhaven. And we went up there, and it's a beautiful place. We also stayed a couple nights, you know, that's even better. Quietness, wow. But as we went to the lodge that he was telling us about, they had been working on it for several months, and only the frame is up. There are no shingles on the roof. There's no siding on the sides. And it was winter was coming. And so, being a good nephew, I said, Uncle Charles, aren't you going to finish this? I mean, the weather's coming, and this wood is going to be really harmed, and you're never going to get this lodge finished. And you that know Uncle Charles know pretty much what he said. And he said, this is God's building. And when he wants it finished, he will give us the money to do it. Wow. I mean, that's rather a statement that is beyond most people investing. How do you invest, you know? And so these are things. And I said, well, aren't you going to finish it? He said, no, God is going. When God sends the money, we'll finish it. When I got off tour and went up to Fairhaven to see what happened was, the roof was on, the siding was done, the building was well on its way to completion. You see, God had provided. And saying he will, there are no obstacles. And I many times say, Lord, give me the faith of Uncle Charles. You know, as you know him, an amazing man. And God has blessed him, and it's great to be his nephew. But, you know, isn't that true? Our God is the one providing. He will direct your paths. And this is a guidance with a promise. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. He will direct our paths. How is he directing in your life? I find that I have to cultivate his direction in our life. Let me tell you a story that I came across a couple years ago that I think kind of brings all of this together, because, you know, we got to put flesh on these bones, and sometimes we have to do that by seeing it in the lives of other people. But I found this story in Guideposts, and it told about an unusual high school boy about to graduate from high school. Outstanding. He already was accepted in one of the universities. He was highly loved and regarded and his classmates. He was the most unusual, but the most unusual thing about him was that he loved the Lord. And he was a testimony to his fellow students. He was a testimony to those around him. It was amazing what God was doing in this young man's life. You know, he's one of those guys that to get to know them, you kind of say, wow, life is great, isn't it? He had it all together. One night coming home in his car, he was T-boned by a drunk driver and was instantly killed. That's not the way our stories are supposed to end up, are they? He was instantly killed. The whole community was in shock. His classmates couldn't believe what had happened. Of all people, his mother went through it the hardest. A strong believer. But she was struggling to put this all together. The other driver was drunk. He was an alcoholic and almost the same age as her son. Dropout from high school, he was going nowhere. And he was barely hurt in the accident, and her son was killed. How do you comfort a grieving mother? That is the question. Well, charges were brought against the driver. She never missed a hearing. She was in court, and she wanted to be able to see justice done for her son. And then the day came when the judge gave his evidence and his, words not coming to me. Yeah, his verdict, yes, thank you. A couple more hours sleep and I think I can make it. And he pronounced him guilty. Guilty. She was so relieved. It was a happy moment in her life, quote unquote. But you know, as she went home, she could not find any peace. Everything happened as she thought it should, and justice was done. She had no question about that. And she struggled with this. The peace of God would not return to her. And she began to pray and spend times in prayer. Lord, what is this? And then the Lord laid it on her heart, you need to go and visit that young man in prison. Well, that was a struggle. She finally worked through that and said, okay, Lord, I'll go visit him. She went to the jail and she started one of many visits, and she was startled to find out that this young man was so much like her son. But he had lost his way. He became an alcoholic. She began to understand as he told his story, and little by little, he told her about his life, and her anger came to sympathy. She saw that his life was ruined because of the situation he found himself in. Then one day, as she was going to go and visit him again, the Lord laid on her heart, share with him about Jesus. Oh, that blindsided her. And she was a very honest person, and she said, Lord, I can't share Christ with her until I deal with my heart. And she spent time in prayer seeking forgiveness for her attitude, for her hatred, for all these emotions that had gotten a hold of her that had been buried down. They all came to the surface. And plus, she said, I have to give forgiveness to him before I can share Jesus. When that happened, she kind of, in a very feeble way, she began to say, okay, I'll do this. She began to share Jesus with this young man. And everything was going fine. She couldn't believe. She said, he's not going to understand any of this stuff. And then she said to him, would you like to pray? And he said to her, how? How can I pray? And she led him in a prayer of acceptance of Jesus Christ. The marvelous change that came in his life brought a new sense of joy and purpose to her. What a joy. And she and her husband started having Bible studies with him and watching him grow in the Lord. And the joy of the Lord was returning to her heart. And this was a marvelous thing until the Lord said to her, I want you and your husband to adopt him as your son. This is a true story. It's an amazing story. I want you to adopt him as your son. And all the emotions that had been, she thought, buried and gone, all came back to her, and she went through this struggle again of dealing with this. So this is asking too much. But then the Lord gave her grace. And she and her husband talked about it. And they talked with their attorneys. This is a legal thing as well. But she said, as we work through this, from a legal side, from a spiritual side, they were ready to make this killer of their son their son. And she said that they were able to work that through, and the courts were willing to release him to them. Then I thought the next part was very interesting. She said, you know, we had to teach him how to live in a Christian home. We had to teach him how he had so many bad habits. Teach him how to be able to live. The killer of their son became their son. And as I read that story, I thought, is this not the prodigal son story all over again in a different context? Where God is leading those to have his forgiveness, to be able to allow him to direct their paths, to let them make choices that are not their choices, but his choices, and the choices that he has made with each one of us here this morning when he said, I accept you as my child. You are the one that is responsible for the death of my son on the cross. But my grace is extended to you. If you will accept the gift of his grace, of his forgiveness, and to be able to discover he not only wants to forgive us, he wants to make us his child, a child of the King. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Wow. Isn't that what God did for this family, and especially this grieving mother? He totally changed their life, not the way they wanted it, but in ways they never dreamed of. He took them down through the valleys of great sorrow, of great pain. And in that, he brought healing and was able to allow them to get a touch at what it means when God says, I forgive you. Father, we thank you this morning that your message to us is that we got to stop leaning on our own understanding. We got to start allowing you to guide and direct our paths. You revolutionize our very thinking and the way we live, that we will become like our Father. Oh, Lord, there may be those here this morning who are struggling with problems of forgiveness, struggling with problems of not being treated correctly, of being abused. There are all kinds of things, Father, that happen in this life. And I couldn't think of anything worse than a mother losing their son in such a violent way. But you have an answer. And Lord, help us, oh God, to stop leaning on our own understanding and crying for justice and right and wrong, but rather saying, Lord, you are my shepherd. I'm not going to want. I want to learn how to walk with you. Thank you, Father, for that privilege of this truth. Of all that you want to do more than anything we could ever dream of. Our future is great because you are great. And we want to walk with you, the great one. We pray in Jesus' name.